Joseph was the favorite child. Next week, we're going to fully discuss why he was the favorite child, but I don't really want to stay there too long today. I just want to tell you, he's dad's favorite. How many have multiple siblings in your family? How many think the other ones are the golden child? Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. Just so you know, the golden child was just up here singing in our family. Like, there's five in total. If you don't know, that was my brother up here, and he's clearly the golden child. If you don't believe that, watch our first service. Mom actually said amen during the service. Like, yep, you're right. You're fourth from the bottom. Like, she yelled it out. It was very humbling. I'm going to need counseling after this and probably pizza. I don't know why. Let's be honest. It's hot wings. So, like, thank you. Oh, she is right there saying amen. That was fantastic. Swing that camera so people believe it. I love you. Thank you for making me cry. So, Snapchat real cheers. So I love you for that, by the way. So Dallas is the golden child, and we all know it. We're aware of it, and we don't want to kill him, though. But again, I'll get to that in a minute. So Joseph was the golden child of the family, and actually in the Bible it says that he was his dad's favorite. He was such the dad's favorite that when the other brothers were out in the open land having to camp, having to make fire, having to tend all these sheep, Joseph was at home with a sweet-looking robe on, hanging out with his dad in the air-conditioned tent, surfing the web, like doing anything but being with the brothers. And so Joseph, though, he was the favorite, but he wasn't the smartest. Not yet. And here's why. I mean, Joseph one night, and again, you can find all this in Genesis. Joseph one night had a dream that he was out in the field working with his brothers. They all put up their bales of wheat. They kind of bundled it together. And when they got done, they stood back and looked at it, and the brothers' bales of hay bent down and worshipped his. And he, the next morning, went to these brothers, which, by the way, big burly men, thick beards, calluses on their hands. Like, I'm sure they were rough and tough, out in the wilderness type guys. And he comes up and he goes, "Hey, brothers." I'm assuming that's how he talked, because he was a little pretty boy. So he's like, "Hey, brothers, I had a dream last night that you guys bowed down and worshiped me." Really? Like, I remember when Dallas said that to me. I was like, we don't roll like that, right? Like, this is not how this works. And they're like, seriously? Like, we know that you're already dad's favorite. And by the way, a coat of many colors, back in that day, the going color was brown. They didn't have Tide sticks. Like, it was just all dirty brown. So to actually have a coat of many colors, you paid a lot of money for someone to dye your clothes red. Like, this was an expensive gift, an extravagant gift. And he's standing there all decked out in his Gucci jacket going, "You guys are going to bow down and worship me one day." And they're like, "Seriously? Like, the nerve of you." And he goes, "This was such a good story. I'm going to tell it again, but different." Because he went back to bed and he had another dream. And it was the stars plus the moon and sun. All those bowed down and worshiped his. So the next day over breakfast, they're eating Cheerios. That's what they ate back then. So they're eating and they're like, "Hey guys, I had this really great dream last night that you bowed down and worshiped me. Oh, hey, mom and dad, and so did you." And dad goes, "Really?" Like, you can read in the Bible. He goes, "Really?" And so here's why I say it is, this was a dream that God had given to him. This was actually something he was born for, because if you want to fast forward with me 8 weeks from now, they bow down and worship him. Just FYI, like, spoiler, so they do bow down and worship him. But the problem was, he shared his dream with someone before he should have. And if you share what you've been born for, so I believe there's people in here that you've been wanting to start a business. You've been wanting to switch jobs. You've been wanting to go back and get your education. You've been wanting to do something different than you are now. But the problem is, it's just still inside of you and you haven't figured out how to share it, because if you share it, you don't know what someone else will do. Can I say this? With your baby, with your dream. So I think it's all right to keep it close for a while, because the worst thing you can do is share it with someone you shouldn't. And here's what they do. They beat it. They don't support you. They're not supportive. I know that this is going to be one of the weirdest examples you ever hear in your life, but there was a while now. So the church, in some ways, is a business. Amen. Like, here, I'm going to prove it. If we don't tell people we're here, people don't know how to find the greatest church in all of the Metro East. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, if we don't market, If we're not on social media, if we don't have a sign out front, people don't know about us. So lately, I was having ideas on how we could market different than other people have done marketing. And I kept it to myself. Why? Because it's a really dumb idea, but I think it'll work. So I kept it to myself. But then I shared it with Pastor Brent and Pastor Aaron. And guess what? They didn't beat my baby up. Now, they didn't nurse it either, but like, they burnt me, but they like... And then this past week at a conference, I'll tell you more about that in a little bit, our wives were with us. And when I told them, no one booed. So I was like, ooh, maybe this is something we're going to do. So one of the ideas that we had to help just market the church, because at some point we got to get out who we are, for about an 8-week period, I want people to be standing out front in the church, out front on the street as people are driving by. And week number one, I want someone in a chicken costume holding a sign that says, I crossed the road to get to Navigation Church. Right? That makes sense. So week number two, by the way, we got a volunteer. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. Week number two is the devil. Get ready to raise your hand. I'll let you volunteer. The devil's out there with a pitchfork. Ooh, we got to add a pitchfork. Okay. We already got a volunteer. I appreciate it. A little pessimistic, but we went with it. So the devil's out there and goes, I hate this church. Don't turn now. Everyone will look at it, right? You get it? Okay. Week number three, someone in a cow outfit. Chick-fil-A's your husband. Thank you. Thank you. That's a great wife volunteering the husband already. So in an all cow outfit that says Chick-fil-A's closed, where else would I be? See what I did there? But here, I don't mind saying it. First of all, it's not in next year's budget, but I'm working on it. So, but I don't mind saying it out loud now because this was an idea. And here's what I want to do something different than what other churches are doing. You know why? We're different. We see salvations every week. We had to add a baptism before our scheduled one in December because the last time we did it, there were 16 people. I just was told we added another. We're up to 10 people this week, and we didn't think we can wait. Like, we are baptizing people all the time. We're seeing salvations all the time. I don't want to do what other people are doing because other people aren't affecting the community like we are. And I don't mind saying it. Why? Because you guys are partnering with us. Why? Because you love having a positive impact in the world around you. So I don't mind sharing this part of my dream with you. Why? Because at this point, my dream has been protected by people who love me. And again, I know this is a really goofy example, but what if I said, hey, we want to get on TV? Or what if I said, hey, we want to start doing radio spots? All of a sudden you go, oh, that's really ministry. Here's what ministry is. It's getting in front of people who've never been in front of. So I don't mind sharing that with you. Why? Because there was a time that I believe God's called me to do something, and I held it long enough, and I thought about it long enough, and then I shared it with the people I love the most, and they talked to me about it, and we discussed it, and guess what? It's time now to let a dream be born. But the problem is sometimes it takes time for something to be born. Like, for me, if God could just like add water and bloop, it's born, like that would be better, but it doesn't actually work like that. So I would say this, if I was giving points today, point number one would be this. When you know the dream and what you were born for, be careful who you share it with. Because not everyone is going to celebrate you wanting to change or be different. Or can I say this, they're not going to want to worship it the way you do. So find those trusted people that you can share with it. But never, oh man, never, never give it up. Because you're going to find out that in your darkest of seasons, sometimes the only thing you can hold on to is what God created you for. Because it's actually what we see with Joseph. So Joseph is at home working with his dad. The brothers are out in the field tending the sheep. The dad wants to get a report on him. So they said, hey, Joseph, go out, see where your brothers are. So Joseph started heading out. And just so you know, he was by himself for 2 to 3 days. 2 to 3 days, open land, camping out at night, having a fire, cooking for himself. He finally looks down and he sees his brothers far off. Now, personally speaking, here's what I think would happen. He saw his brothers and went, yes, I'm safe. Does that make sense? Like, yes, I found him. Yes, I can finally get to him. The brothers, ready for this? The brothers see him and go, oh, here's the dreamer. Let's kill him. It wasn't our brother. It wasn't dad's favorite. It wasn't Joe. It was this, there's the dreamer, let's kill him. So again, you got to be careful because it wasn't about hurting him, the individual. It was about destroying the destiny that he was called for. So he comes up and here's what I think. I think he walked up and I think they immediately hit him. I think they tackled him. I think they beat him up. And you may go, that's not in the Bible. No, but it does say in the Bible that they took his coat off of him. Eventually, they kill a lamb, put blood all over it. So when they go back to dad, they hold it up and said, hey, is this your son's jacket that we found? So there's some level of violence. I know this sounds crazy. If they're willing to kill him, they're willing to hurt him. Is that logical, right? And so they then take Joseph and they throw him in a pit. Now, next week, we're going to talk a lot about this pit moment. What was he feeling like? What was he thinking? What was the feelings that was going on with him? But I kind of want to stop here because they threw him in a pit, and I wonder when he hit rock bottom if he went, oh, that's okay. One day they're going to worship me. I mean, did it even cross his mind? Like, was he down there and went, hey, but the wheat bowed? Like, was there any memory of that whatsoever? Or was it sheer terror, aloneness, depression, fear, anxiety? When he's at the bottom of the pit, do you think he went, oh, God, you're so good to see your words come true? And by the way, if that's you, you're a liar. It doesn't work like that. I'll say it. I don't hit rock bottom and immediately go to worship. I try to get to that place. And my wife's a great coach of going, why are you beating yourself up? Get to God, right? But most of the times in the pit, you are wondering, how did I get here? I had a dream. I was born for something else. I was born to go to college and get my degree, the first one in my family, but yet I barely made it through high school. But there's something inside of you that wants to go. There's something inside of you that wants to do a different business, step out from where you've ever been, ask that girl on a date, see if that guy's single. Like, there's something that's been inside of you, but yet you're frozen where you're at, but there's a dream locked up inside of you. And here's the thing. I think God, right before we give up on our dreams, he comes back and reminds us of them. So, because here's a big dream I have. To sell this building and move. Pastor Brent's praise, I've never seen him worship that hard in my life. Like how many know that we've been trying to move for a while now? We're under contract. And I even, over a year ago, I was over in St. Louis, just at a church service, not doing anything. And I'm standing next to a stage, and a guy looks at me and he goes, hey, God's about to give you property. Oh, when? Because I'll tell you now, and this is just true for you to know, God never moves as fast as you. Ta-da! Like, you can't find it in the Bible, but everyone that agrees with me, say amen. Right? And so God never moves as fast as you want to. So God told us, get ready. He actually said this, get ready. Someone's going to give you property. So you know what we did? We got ready, and we're still waiting. You told me to get ready. God's going to give us property. So guess what? We've been getting ready. And then we got a contract on the building. God, you're faithful, and we're going to close a month ago. Did you follow that? Not closed yet. And then it's like, we're aiming for December. Got an email this past week. Hey, the goal is to be closed by summer next year. Okay. And so then we come here, and last week, this was fun, found a broken window that someone tried to light the window on fire. Yeah, that's good times. And the cameras didn't pick anybody up because our hard drive got fried and they hadn't got back to replace it yet. So we couldn't catch them, and buildings almost caught on fire. And then you come in today, let's be honest, it stinks in here. And so God, we want to move. We want to get out of here. And there have been times where I go, I'm done. Like, is this going to ever happen? Now, I actually believe that we're on a God journey right now. But you ready for this? I feel like Joseph, because it's not going to happen. I'm in a pit. I'm stuck at the bottom. God, what are we going to do? And then this past week, we were, myself, Pastor Brent, Pastor Aaron, along with our wives, we were at a conference up in Portland. And it was just, oh man, it was amazing. I just wish I could tell you everything that God did for us up there. But on one of the services, a guy gets up on stage and he goes, hey, I'm going to ask for those that kind of have a prophetic gift. If you come down front, just line the stage. And if anyone needs prayer, just come down and get prayer from one of the people. Now, when I say prophetic gift, I'll explain that to you because you may hear that and go, what's he talking about? So here's what I believe. I believe there's a God in heaven, and I believe he still talks. The question is, are we listening? And then I actually think there's some people that talk to him so much that there's times where they can go, hey, do you have something to say to someone else? Now, some people term that a prophet or being prophetic, and that's great. And here's what I know is just there's times that I want to hear from God, and there's people I go to go, hey, help me find him in this place. Now, you could say I don't believe in prophecy, but let me ask you this. Have you ever been talking to someone and you just knew something was wrong and you went ahead and put it out there and you were right? Well, I could define that as being prophetic. Or maybe there was someone you've been thinking about, so you decide to call them, and when you call them, you're their answer to prayer. Why were you thinking about them? Because you're a great person? Or is there a God in heaven that loved them enough he used you to call them? So don't make this weird. It's not a 1-900 number that you call. Do those even exist anymore? I don't know. So there's not like, you know, call a prophet, get a phone. It's just come up and God wants you to pray. So the type of person I am, I don't need one more prayer because I've had a lot. And if I'm seeking God for specific things, I think I'm mature enough to pursue them. So we're there, whole line of people, everyone's going up to get prayed for. And I keep looking to the left and I'm looking at this guy and I was like, he's supposed to pray for us. But I'm not going to stand in line. He's got someone up there. So we're worshiping Jesus. This is how I do it on my alone time because I'm getting gift. No, that's not true. So I just waiting for the worship time to end. And then all of a sudden, the line was gone and that guy opened up. And I leaned over to the team and I said, hey, guys, I think he's supposed to pray for us. And literally everybody stood up, walked out of the row, and no one blinked. And we walked right down. He was available. And I said, hi. I go, I think you're supposed to pray for us. So he does what everybody does when they go to start praying for someone. Lord, we just thank you for this day. What a great looking team. That bald guy here is handsome as can be. Like, that was the prayer, mostly. So he just starts kind of praying along. And then all of a sudden he stops and he looks at Pastor Aaron and goes, hey, this time next year, your youth group is going to be doubled in size. That's awesome, awesome. So we write that down. And then out of nowhere he goes, hey, God's about to give you property. What? We didn't tell you we were moving. I just came here because I think God wanted to say, you know what he wanted to say? I know you're currently in a pit, but I haven't forgot about you. Yeah. And so it's like, when? Where? Why not now? Like, there was a lot of questions that came up. But you know what I found? Even though there wasn't any new information, and it was the same information, my God hasn't forgotten about me. Yeah. And if you're here today, I want to tell you this. He hasn't forgot about you. And you were born to be who you are. And you could be at home with dad and everything's looking good, but there's something, a feather, something that's been given to you that you want to go do something else. And even though dad, and even though mom, and even though family didn't pursue it, it's not too late for you to pursue it. You could be in the wilderness. You could be walking, trying to find your brothers, and you could feel like in your life right now, you are getting beat up by other things and other people. I want to tell you this, it doesn't kill your dream. It doesn't kill what you were made for. It doesn't kill why God created you. And you could be in the bottom of a pit, and you could be feeling alone, and you could be feeling desperate, and you can be feeling hopeless. And I want to tell you this, if nothing else, hang on to the dream. Hang on to what God had called you for. I'm busy. I'll have to take it later. So here's the thing. My question for you today is this. What have you been created to do? What has God put in your life? What has God spoke to you that you haven't moved out in yet? What has been something that has been going over and over in your brain that you haven't told anybody else about? I want to tell you this. It's time for you to start dreaming big. Because you were not meant to be ordinary, but extraordinary. You were meant to fulfill a God-sized dream. And by the way, can I just tell you, I'm not talking about going out and inventing a massive thing and becoming a multi-billionaire, but if that's you, go for it. It could be just getting your degree. You know, one of the things my wife had a desire to be? A stay-at-home mom. When I was going through the interview process to see if she would say yes to me, that's how it worked, because I was begging and she was like, I don't know if you're good enough, so still working on it. One of the questions was, are you okay if I'm not about going out just making a lot of money but staying home and raising our children? You know why? That's what she was created to do. But the question was I available to help her do that? So it could be a stay-at-home mom. It could be getting married. It could be switching jobs. It could be having the baby that you've been desiring. I'm trying to give as many examples I can to cast the widest net possible, but the question is, what were you born to do? And what do I need to do to help you take your next step in that growing relationship? Because I don't know where you're at, if you're at home or you're in a pit, but I can promise you this, it doesn't have to kill the dream. So I just pray for you right now that wherever you're at in life, that your dream comes alive. I pray no matter what form the seed looks like right now, maybe it's in your hand, maybe it feels like it's dead inside of you, I pray that it begins taking root. And I pray that it starts coming alive. I pray for anybody in here that feels like you pursued a dream and you missed out on it. I pray that your dream life isn't dead. But that was just the step you needed to take. And it may have felt like a pit, but I promise you there's a palace waiting for you. So I just pray over that. Pray over you right now. And here's the thing. Every step in the journey that you need to go on, it's going to start the same place for all of us. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're here right now, in a minute, we're going to be having some people come forward to actually get water baptized because a few weeks ago, a few months ago, they said yes to being a follower of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means you know that you were created for something more, but you've only created the life that you currently have and you can't do it different without Him. It also means that there's been an emptiness inside of you, and maybe you've tried to fill it with, maybe you tried to fill it with entertainment, maybe you tried to fill it with relationships, maybe you tried to fill it with toys, but nothing ever seems to fill you. I'm here to tell you now, I have the drink that you need that will quench all your thirst. And it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to move into a relationship with Him? But for me to ask you, I want to make you as comfortable as I can. So could I just ask everyone to do me a favor? Close your eyes, bow your head. Just kind of separate yourself from people around you. And the question I have for you is very simply this. Do you want to say yes to knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you done trying to do life the way you've always had and you're desperate for something new? If you're tired of feeling dirty on the inside and you're ready for just that almost new creation, like to be born again, can we say it like that, and start fresh? If that's you here today with all eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm just going to say, if you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, simply raise your hand in the air just so I can see that you've made that decision. I see those hands. Praise God. I see those hands here right in front of me. Amen. Amen. So you know what? So many hands have gone up. I'm going to ask everyone out loud to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I was born for this. Born to know You. Born to follow You. And today, I give my life to You. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day forward, may my life forever be changed. God, I thank You for every hand that went up. I thank You for every decision that was made in their heart. And today, Lord, we as a church get behind them and we support them. We encourage them, and more than anything, we celebrate with them. And I pray today is the day that marks their new beginning and that the dream that's inside of them comes alive forevermore. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Let's celebrate for every person.